Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
It's Carson Wood.
Carson Wood over there across the table from me. My wife tells me I have to bring my desk back in here, so we should start setting the camera up again and just live stream and then push it live.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we can just go right to YouTube, and we don't have to worry about all the editing and stuff.
And then right to RedTube.
So speaking of hilarious jokes, everyone on One Speed MMA site was retweeting what Pornhub happened to tweet at the Super Bowl yesterday, which was the search on Pornhub for gay porn is zero because everybody is watching Tom Brady get effed. And boy, were they wrong, because that turned around real quick.
He kind of was.
Well, in the first quarter, absolutely.
Well, first two.
And then he brought it right back.
And then he did the F's in.
And then he got, yeah, he did the F word.
He sexed everybody in the whole place.
He sexed all of them.
Bill Burr was just having like a wet dream over it right after and did his Monday morning podcast. But he did it like right after on Sunday. Oh, man, he was so stoked.
I'm not a Patriots fan, but I'm glad. I mean, everyone was like, I can't believe the Patriots, or not, sorry, the Falcons lost. They deserve to win. And I was like, no, if you blow a 28-point lead, you do not deserve to win.
The best part was Goodell being forced to give Kraft, I think it was Kraft, the Lombardi trophy, and then having to give Tom Brady the MVP trophy. Oh, man.
I asked the girl. There's a girl in my work who's from Rhode Island, and apparently she's a huge Patriots fan. And I asked her.
How much? Like 300 pounds?
Yeah. Huge. And so I asked her. I was like, so you think Tom Brady retires? And she was like, probably. And I was like, well, that's the thing. If he gets to sit out another four games next season, he'll be fresh the rest of the season.
Well, do you see their backup?
Uh-uh.
Because you know how beautiful Thomas Matthew Harrison Brady the III is.
No,
that's
not
his full name, but it should be. This guy, I think it's Garoppolo. Is it Garoppolo? I'm going to find it. Look at this. I swear we've talked about this, and this is definitely what people in an MMA podcast want to hear.
Most of them watch football as well.
Yeah, but they don't.
Flying Brian doesn't. He was brewing beer.
I don't know if they want to know how beautiful he is. Look at this just stream of attractive gentlemen that they have going through this place.
He's a more handsome Sanchez.
Guy got it figured out. He won, I think, three of those games at the beginning, and then he got injured too. But no, I mean, that was impressive. It was a good time.
Can we get into this card and just how bizarre it was? By card, I mean UFC Houston or UFC Fight Night, whatever number it is. I did watch all of the prelims, which were pretty good. Roundtree looked awesome. He landed a great knee. The weirdest part about this fight, and I don't know if you saw it. I'm guessing that you didn't because there's a whole bunch of people at your house.
Roundtree?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So Roundtree finishes this fight, and the odd part about it is he keeps his eyes closed the entire time, and he's very focused. And usually he's a really super happy dude. You could even say jolly.
Say it. He's jolly.
Yeah, he's jolly.
I said it.
So anyway, Jolly's out, and it was a legal knee, and then he needed him to the body, or he didn't, whatever. And so they're standing there waiting to get their hands raised, and Jolly, instead of walking straight to the other side, he walks around Roundtree like he's going to try and like make eye contact with him and like try and re-instigate a fight. And Roundtree's got his eyes closed, so Jolly just has to walk around the other side. But it was just very bizarre. It almost looked like he was going to bump him, like they were like in a hallway, and he just wanted to instigate something. And I don't know if that's what it was, but he really looked like he wanted to almost like try and instigate some kind of fight. And Roundtree just had his eyes closed. So that was actually a really good fight. I would find it. He threw an awesome place knee when he was trying to take him down. He pulled him towards him and pulled him off balance, and he had to pull his hand up in order to keep his balance from falling over. And as soon as he brought his hand up, man, he just boom, nailed him with a knee.
Actually, I think absolutely I did awesome. See that because everybody was telling me about it.
Oh, so good.
And I think now that you say it, I think I did catch the replay. I definitely didn't
see it.
Oh, no,
they did.
Live.
They showed it on the FS1 card.
Okay.
They showed it. They did a replay of it. So you probably did see it.
Either way, I have it saved to go back and watch everything. So
super good. And then Nico Price also looked really, really good.
I got to watch it really quick. We just got a new cable provider.
Oh, you better hurry.
So I got to get that
before it gets cut out.
Yeah.
why it's still recorded. And then Price Moreno, it was actually really, really close, and then Price backed him up, and it was actually scary because when Price knocked him out, he fell, and he just didn't move. Like, his eyes were kind of, like, open. He was in the fetal position, and he stayed there for a good, like, 15 seconds before they went to commercial. And it
one
was
of the scary knockouts.
Oh, one of like
have you did you
super scary knockouts?
Not to talk about everything but MMA, but did you see Bellerin get knocked out on the first Chelsea goal? Did you see any replays of that? Dude, he was up in the air and he got elbowed. I don't know. I haven't really listened to anything. I feel like it should have been a foul, but he got like elbowed and then he just went back from like jumping like 2 feet in the air just right back onto his head, and he started doing like looking off into the distance, like you couldn't see, and he was just like he looked like he had mental problems,
in
the literal sense, like
he had no control,
his whole
he had
body
no motor
seized
function.
Up.
That's kind of how Moreno was,
jeez,
because
man.
He fell into a triangle against the fence, and he just stayed like that, and his eyes were just open, staring off. It was really it.
You don't like those.
I've seen a lot of knockouts, and it was really, really scary. And by the time they got back, he was still on the ground and all of that. And then Ramos Tanaka was pretty good. Skelly's just such a weird person. Torres Rawlings was exactly what you thought it would be. Torres outpointed her until the end of the fight. Milstead Blades was actually really gross too, man. Did you see this one?
The knee?
Yeah, where his knee freaking blew out. Like the weird part is I trust Brian Stann a lot. Like a lot. And when Brian Stann's like, hey, this is when they... Oh, man. He's showing me the picture right now. Yeah. He's looking off into the distance, and his hands are doing that, like, no motor function type movement. That poor guy, man.
You were saying, though, Blade.
Oh, so Blade... Obviously, he kept picking him up and just throwing him. Blades is a... I mean, there was a 30-pound difference. It was like a two... Like, he came in at heavyweight, like, limit. And Milstead was only 230. Milstead's a freaking specimen, and he looked good in his last fight, but Blade just tossed him around like a rag doll, and he hurt his knee in the first round. When
yeah,
they
that one should have, I feel like yeah. it should have been called.
Well, Brian Stann was like, the corner should, they shouldn't let him come back
no.
out in the second round.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, the little that I saw of that card, that was one of the one things I saw, and I was like, and everybody, like the people at the, we were having a poker night and for my roommate's birthday, yep. just if we reference that, that's what happened. And everybody was like, "Ooh, man, his knee." Everybody saw it. It wasn't like you had to be even a Brian Stann level. Everybody's like, "Oh, his knee looks bad." And then I just hear, I go off and start getting like the pizza or something like that. And I just hear everybody, "Oh, no," like freaking out. Yeah. And I come back and watch. Dude, he should not have been, like, he was clearly not able to fight, and his knee was already messed up from what I could tell, and
yep.
now he's going to be out for, what, 9 months probably?
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, MCL or ACL surgery for sure. So, here's my question. Do you know anything if a corner throws in the towel that they lose part of the purse? Or they don't get the show money or something like that?
No.
I have to look into this because someone was saying that I wonder how many more people would throw in the towel in their corner if they kept all of their show money. And
there's no other way that could be a rule. There's no way.
That if you throw in the towel, they just don't pay
What's
you.
What's the difference
all of
between that
purse?
And a knee?
I agree.
Or excuse me, a tap. Excuse
or a tap.
Me.
No. I understand, but it's just weird to me, and I have to look it up, and if anyone knows anything, please correct us. But someone tweeted about that, and I read it, and I was like, well, maybe that would make sense, and that's why people don't throw in the towel, because they want them to at least make all of their money so they can pay for their surgery or whatever it is. But if he hurt his knee that bad, he should have never come out in the second round. Who cares how you look, man?
So,
just throw it in.
Pretty impressive on him. He says, ouch. This is right after on Twitter. He just goes, ouch, my knee hurts. Hats off to Razor Blade 265 for a dominant victory. Enjoy it, bud. And then his next one was, to clear the air, I never told my corner my knee was jacked. They would have stopped it if I had done so. I will go out on my shield by my choice. They still should have seen it. Everybody's, like, I'm telling you, like, people were like, why is he fighting? Like, his knee looks bad. Like, people were telling me that don't watch MMA.
Yeah. Just a bunch of random dudes playing poker, watching the TV behind them,
mm-hmm.
noticed. But Blaydes looked good, and Blaydes' only loss is to Ngannou.
7 takedowns in 5 minutes.
But we're not even just talking. We're talking throws. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, tossed him around. And Bilstead is not a small dude. And Blaydes was just, it seemed about the same height or a little bit taller, and he out-muscled him. And Ngannou only won his fight, and I was reminded about this on Twitter. Ngannou only won by doctor stoppage because he got such a huge Blaydes got such a huge hematoma over his eye that they called it doctor stoppage in the second. I mean, he was losing the fight, if I remember correctly, but I mean, he wasn't losing it handedly, and he lost the doctor stoppage. So Blaydes, man, when Ngannou is getting Arlovski and moving up quick, Blaydes could have done the same thing. Now, do I believe he could get in probably better shape? And I mean, he's an American wrestler and he's good at what he does. I believe that he could probably cut some weight and be a little bit better off with cardio and different things like that. But he wasn't even training full time until just recently. And he looked good outside of the UFC. I remember someone pointed out, once again, thank you to the MMA community on Twitter. Everyone was super excited for the Curtis Blaydes Francis Ngannou fight, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of either of these guys. And it was a great fight, and I've watched both of these dudes since, and they've both just put on just clinics from then on out. And it's weird that Ngannou's moving up so quick and Blaydes is getting the slow burn, which is good because I think he needs it. I think Ngannou is going to move up that much faster, but Blaydes beat Cody East, which I'm so happy for, and then he just beat Curtis Blaydes after losing to Ngannou.
Also, I was going to say to everybody, if you're wondering about the highlights, I guess if you're okay with knee injuries and stuff, I'd probably just stay away from that one of the highlights of the night.
Just watch the first round, and then don't watch any of the second round.
Well, because I did look it up. It is a torn meniscus and partially dislocated knee.
It was bad.
And that's the thing so he's saying that his corner, they didn't know, but that's the whole thing. Of course they didn't. Not to come back and dwell on it, but it's like, of course he's not going to tell them. Like, these guys are all fighters. Like, they're trying to put on a show. They're all probably going to go out on their shield. That's the job of a corner. That's why you have the towel, is to protect the fighter from themselves.
They may not have seen it, but I don't know how they didn't see it.
I don't know, man. I feel like there's almost, I don't know how you do this, but almost like, you know how you have the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator in a booth for NFL? I feel like you have to have something similar to that. And you've got to be having a commentary. And maybe we're just too early on in the infancy of the sport to really be able to support that. But that's specifically what the corner is there for, is to protect the fighters against themselves. That's the kind of stuff you have to see.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, and if you're of mind enough to tell them, like, get up or move or transition or wizard or whatever, you should see when they fall down and make just this terrible face of pain, which is exactly what he did in the first round. And I agree with you. I think it should be more okay in the sport to throw in the towel. And I know it's this weird, like, catch 22, like, well, what happens if he would have come out and finished the fight? And it's like, no, just live to fight another day. Like,
well, it's not the fighter's call on that. It is the corners. And that's the thing is, you take the pressure completely off the fighter. He at least has that to fall back on. I didn't tell my corner to throw in the towel. They threw in the towel. And then they can corroborate that. And the other side's going to realize, like,
he was getting his ass kicked. he looked bad.
And now he's, I don't know how long a torn meniscus is, but
at least 6 months.
And is partially dislocated. You could see it in the picture, in the steel. Yeah. You could, and I couldn't even look at the steel.
Oh, it shifted left to right, man. It was bad. Mm-hmm. It was bad. This actually, I mean, for what the card was, it wasn't that great, but it was also really good.
Were you surprised by Grasso?
I was, but I want to get into Andrade Hill first because Hill got battered the entire time. Once again, they shouldn't have thrown in the towel, but they probably could have. But Hill, before this fight, made a comment about how there's two women's strawweight divisions. There's the attractive girls and there's the non-attractive girls. Or there's the pretty girls and then there's the fighters. And the weirdest part about this is Hill's not bad looking. Like, she would, if you were to ask me, like, okay, cool. If it is one of those things, like, okay, like, where would you put Hill in the pretty or the fighters? I'd be like, yeah, she probably goes in the pretty. And then she's like, oh no, I've got to fight all the unattractive ones that actually know how to fight. And then she came out and got absolutely battered. Now, not to mention, this is Jessica Andrade.
She just proved her point.
Yeah,
she's fighting the unattractive good fighters.
She should have been fighting the Paige VanZants and the Watersons and so on and so forth. All the Invicta.
That's such a slap in the face to Joanna, who's like the champion, lost yeah. two rounds maybe, and only against Claudia. She's only lost two rounds, and she has destroyed everybody else. Destroyed him.
Oh, absolutely. But speaking of Joanna, Jessica Andrade, who just beat Angela Hill, is actually going to get the next title shot against her. That's kind of why I wanted to get into this.
That's good.
Andrade looked beastly against Hill, man. She just battered her.
One I got to go back and watch.
Oh, man. I mean, you really don't, because Angela Hill was on her.
Hill's I can actually make commentary time. On that. Because what was my prediction? Is it everybody but Joanna? Did I say that?
About what? Sorry.
Losing title fights.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. Everyone but on.
So I'd be interested to see. I also, somebody posted all the belts being held from 2015, I think 2014 to 2015, 2015 to 2016. And I thought that my bold prediction, everybody losing their belts, not that bold. That kind of happens every year. So I was kind of disappointed in myself. It was bullshit prediction.
You've seen the Black People Twitter where the guy's pointing at his head, right?
Yeah,
where it's like
looking at it right now on Reddit.
Really?
Well, it's up there.
Did you see the one with Conor McGregor where it's like, you can't lose a belt if you don't defend him? they cut and pasted Conor McGregor's head over one of those, and it was like, you can't lose your belt if you don't defend it.
Not true at all. That's terrible saying.
But
John Jones.
Take it. Well, no. So, yeah, good point.
He lost the hell out of it.
They also took his lightweight? No, he has a lightweight belt.
Featherweight?
Featherweight. Was it featherweight that they took? His featherweight belt. Yeah. Well, that was a lot more rough than it should have been. I'm like, wait, which division is below that?
I would like to see somebody like actually challenge Joanna. I just don't see it still.
Claudia looked good in the first round, but
Claudia
after that, that was about it.
Joan, wait.
Goodelia, Claudia.
Oh, you're talking. Okay, you're talking that fight. I thought you were talking to the Hill fight. I get what you're saying.
No, Andrade looks good, man. She looked really good, but at the same time, I've never been a huge. I mean, Angela Hill won the belt not very convincingly in Invicta, and she already lost her first couple rounds in freaking UFC. Like, the thing is. She's a big talker, and a lot of people know who she is because of her social media presence, and she looked good in Invicta, but not great. And then they put her against the number 5, man, which is just really, really hard. I mean, it's almost
I hate that comment that, one, it kind of just it's trying to diminish what Joanna's done about the attractive people getting the blah, 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 and whatever. But also at the same time, it's like, even if that was the way it is, so what?
Yeah.
No, there's people on the men's and women's side that don't get... There's various attributes for reasons why people get a little bit of a bump in getting a title fight and don't. Sometimes it's looks. Conor McGregor, it's talking. Sometimes it's performance, if you look at John Jones. Sometimes it's just opportunity. If you look, again, almost John Jones, he wasn't supposed to get the Hua fight yet, and he got the Hua fight. Sometimes you just have to be... opportunistic,
right,
yeah. Like
right place at the right time.
There's so many things that go into it, and just to say, oh, the beautiful people or the attractive people get it, and it's like, there's other ways to get it. You're just making excuses, and I hate excuses.
Well, and who's to decide, right? Because I watch some of these women fight, and people are making sexually explicit comments on Twitter, and I'm like, really? I mean, Shevchenko. People will talk about how hot Shevchenko is, and I'm like, sure, yeah.
Okay, I kind of had a little bit of a crush on Carolina.
What? No, and I understand that too. I mean, she looks like she's a sweetheart, but like,
yeah, she is. Let's look at her little sweetheart.
I mean, you look at, speaking of the same card,
the nicest lady,
Grasso and Herring, man. Like, Felice Herring for like that hard kind of looking chick that probably rides a motorcycle that you would take down to Sturgis. It's really pretty.
Paul made a pretty astute observation on most of the... I don't think it was just the women's fights, but there was like two of the women and then also I think one of the men. And he's like, was there just a whole bunch of lost bets and or won competitions? If you won a certain thing, then your UFC fighter that you created in UFC 3 gets to be in the actual card. It's like, who was it? I think it was Rawlings. He saw Rawlings and he was like, this was a person created in an Xbox. Yeah. Like,
exactly. But I mean, the thing is too, is like Beck Rawlings, I'm going to make two observations about that. Beck Rawlings looks like, I mean, she came in like 10 pounds over. So there is that. But I mean, she looks like she lose quite a bit of weight. But Beck Rawlings also, for like how rough she looks, she's not bad looking. Felice Herring isn't bad looking. Alexa Grasso is supposed to be super pretty down where she's like, where she's from in Mexico and all of that. Like, but Angela Hill is not bad looking. And then you get into the ones that are just like, they're there to compete. No, I don't think all of them are there to compete. I don't think any of them care about their looks. They're there to compete. But it's just funny that some of the girls that are like, oh, everyone just wants the pretty girls. And it's like, you realize that you're not bad looking. Like, you're just throwing these, all of these women into,
well,
this category.
Paige Van Zandt's headlined and co-mained. And so,
but it's because she was on Dancing with the Stars and they were trying to cross promote.
But why was she on Dancing with the Stars?
Because she was a gymnast and a dancer.
That's not it.
Because
she's attractive.
If you ask me, Paige Van Zandt's not cute.
Like, you're wrong about
cute,
that.
And she's like, oh, she's a sweetheart. Like,
she's objectively cute. I'm not going to say she's drop dead like, but you know, hot, but yeah. Like, but that's the thing, is there's you take what you have and you use it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have something, like, you don't have the X factor, you've got to find a way to create it.
And I agree 100% with that. But like, I understand why Paige Van Zandt. My phone's blowing up over here. Vortex. And I understand.
Knock it off, Chelsea.
No, it's not.
You
actually
know where we are, Chelsea.
Chelsea's sister.
Knock it off, Taylor.
She's asking me how long it takes to drive to Orem, because that's where I work currently. And apparently she's probably, unless you were her current employer, she's probably looking for a new job.
She can come work at Clearly.
Well, she might. She might have to, except she'll get sexually harassed every single day.
Very,
speaking of us
very true.
Ranking UFC fighters.
That will happen if she goes there.
Yeah. People. Anyway, moving on. So Grasso Herring, that was actually a good fight. I mean, it was a good back and forth. It could have gone either way. I do believe that Felice Herring actually won that fight, which is great for Grasso. She came in, she was highly touted. Good also for Felice Herring, who's only lost to Paige Van Zandt, but kind of lost a lot of her footing because she lost to Paige Van Zandt, because a lot of people don't see her as a serious fighter. But Alexa Grasso was supposed to be the next big thing. She won her first fight in the UFC against, like, Heather Jo Williams or someone like that, or Heather Jo Clark. And it's probably better that they lost, or that she lost, so that she can actually build her way up rather than just getting thrown to the wolves that are, you know, that division. And so it was a good fight. If you didn't see it, go back and watch it. Alexa Grasso's got a lot to learn, but I think she's going to be big in the UFC, and they're always going to
take
her.
Pounds?
They're always going to take her down to Mexico City. Yair Rodriguez, Alexa Grasso, people that actually speak Spanish will most likely start fighting in Mexico. I see MMA getting a lot bigger. But as we saw in Salt Lake when we were here, I'd say about what, a third of the crowd that was there were probably Hispanic, and most likely because it's Utah, Mexican. So, I mean, there's a huge demographic for MMA in Mexico, and they're really smart to be pushing some of these Mexican fighters to co-headliners and so on and so forth. And good for Herring. I mean, she's been in the UFC since women were brought in, so it's great that she actually, you know, got to co-headline. She's a good fighter, even though she lost to Paige Van Zandt, and that's kind of the biggest mark on her career. She got there. And two more things I'm going to bring up. James Vick, who's probably one of my least favorite fighters, who's supposed to be a really good dude. Best Fight Picks, really likes him. Daniel, who was on our podcast, but man, I have a hard time with him. And he's 10-1 now. He's only lost one fight in the UFC, just beat Abel Trujillo. He just can't break that top 10, but he's a solid fighter. It's one of those tough guys for you, Kars.
Talking about a whole bunch of things that are preliminary to the one thing that matters is my favorite.
Bermudez, break it down for us.
I didn't get to watch a ton of it, so I had to go back and kind of watch the highlights even on that. But, man, I just love this guy. If you don't like him, you're a bad person. That's just, I'm going to lay it out there. If you don't like the Korean zombie, you hate puppies and you don't like pizza, and I don't want to associate with you because he's just a happy dude.
He's a happy dude. I watched his fights with freaking Garcia. First fight.
The Twister?
Yeah. Well, first fight, he actually fought him twice.
Twice, that's
Leonard,
right.
Leonard Garcia. He lost to him the first time, mm-hmm. and it was a split decision, and it could have gone either way. Second time, he crushed him. But he didn't really look solid in either fight. And Leonard Garcia, obviously, as you know, is no longer in the UFC. He's getting better. And I honestly...
Well, he looked good against Jose.
He looked decent against Jose.
Well, up until he dislocated his arm, he looked good. Mm. Did you think he was going to look that good? I thought he was going to get run through.
And then by Bermudez or by Jose Aldo?
By Jose Aldo.
Oh, I did too. Yeah, the fact that he even competed.
And then the Mark Hominick, because he has a ground game and he's shown to have a striking game. He's kind of... He seems like... It's not like a karate style per se, but... He seems to pick his punches really well. It just so happened that the first punch that he threw against Hominick was the one that put him out, and then the Bermudez one, like, I didn't expect an uppercut to come from that close, and he doesn't look like he's got a ton of power in him. It seems like it's precision and timing. Like, timing in a different way, like...
I didn't expect him to finish Bermudez. Not at all.
Not punching. Not striking.
Nope, and that actually surprised me. After watching his fights, his old fights on UFC Fight Pass. Thank you, UFC Fight Pass. After watching his old fights...
We're not sponsored by them, but if they would like to just give us a free subscription, we'll take that.
But I didn't think he was going to win this fight based on watching all of his old fights. And then he came out and proved me absolutely wrong, and it made me really excited to see him again in this division.
I just thought it was too early. It was with Ringrust. We've got him and Dominic Cruz essentially showing that Ringrust doesn't exist. But
absolutely.
Just watching the Brandao Bermudez fight and how good he is on the ground, I figured that he was going to finish Bermudez if he was going to finish Bermudez. I actually thought it was going to go to decision, but if he was going to finish Bermudez, I thought it was going to be on the ground for sure. I kind of thought that the Mark Hominick fight was kind of just a mistake. Like, Mark was kind of just not expecting it, and he just caught him just right. I didn't think that.
See, I didn't rewatch that fight though.
Oh, go back, watch it right now. Pull it up. No, seriously, it's like the fastest fight in UFC history, or something like that.
Oh yeah, it's like the 23-second fight.
Yeah, it's not long at all. He comes in and pretty much just punches Mark, and Mark goes out. Where is he, by the way? Is he even in the UFC anymore?
He's still there.
Is he?
Yeah.
That poor guy, man. He seemed like such a nice guy. He's got hematomas and quick knockouts. Like,
well, cause,
just right there.
But back at that time, 2 years ago, while he was right before Zhang went to the military, there was like four people. And it's basically the women's flyweight division, right, or strawweight division right now. You win two or three in a row, and you're getting a title shot because Joanna's already beat everybody. Jose, at that time, had cleared that division. If you beat one to two other people, you immediately got a title shot. That's just how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so Zhang only had three wins. And it was against Mark Hominick, who at that time was a really good fighter, because I think he had just come off a loss to Jose Aldo to decision after the weird-ass hematoma he had. But Zhang really hadn't proved himself. And then they threw him up against Jose Aldo, and he did really, really well. But no one expected him to win. And the fact that he beat Bermudez, I mean... I'm excited. I'm excited for where this kid goes. And he's one or two more fights away from a title shot, because that division's kind of getting...
I would really like to see a him Holloway fight. I think it'd be fun, because you don't know where it's going to go.
Bermudez beat Holloway, which is I forgot that completely.
Bermudez isn't bad. But I think, because where do you think that fight goes? Ground or standing? Like, both of them, I feel like, they just seem like they both just don't care.
They would go to the ground.
I think they would.
Holloway wouldn't go to the ground.
I feel like he would.
I mean, he would if he had to.
I feel like
Holloway's going to keep it standing.
I feel like they're both, like, they're just at a level where neither of them would really care. They'd just be like, yeah, well, you know, it almost seems like it would be a roll-around sparring session between those two that just so happens to have a title on the line. Because they both, you got Holloway, which is laid-back Hawaiian, and then you got Korean Zombie, who just seems like the most happy-go-lucky laid-back guy who... is very understated. He doesn't say much because, one, he doesn't know the language, and he just... But he, even then, he's still just understated dude. It just goes out there, and it just kind of looks like he's never looked tense. Even in his title fight, he never looked tense at all.
No.
He grimaced when he tore his what was it, rotator cuff, was it?
I don't know. I didn't rewatch that fight because I don't remember, but yeah, I do remember that.
He's a good guy. I think he's one of my top five favorite fighters. I like him a lot. Definitely my favorite Asian.
Watching this fight made me realize that he deserved it. Rewatching all of his old fights made me think he was pushing to a title too quick. So I'm really excited to see where he goes.
Well, that was opportunistic because he was ranked, if I remember right, he was ranked seventh at the time when he got that title shot. I think a Carolina situation, or there's been a couple times when people have just been tied up. And I honestly, if I remember right, yeah, he wasn't supposed to get that fight.
No, something happened. There was just nobody else at that time. But, I mean, obviously he deserved it. He did well enough. All right, let's go into what else happened. I mean, Andrade got her title fight. Is there any other big news that's happened in the last 2 days?
I was wondering have we heard anything of who's going to replace Goldie?
No, but they've brought in, what, DC, Dominic, Anik, and Brian Stann for almost all of it, right?
By the way, it was Pettis that pulled out of that fight.
And that's when June came up? Oh, because it was going to be their super fight, right? Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying, have we heard anything?
Yeah, no, I mean, is there any news that's happened in the last 2 days that's worth really bringing up other than Andrade getting her title fight?
Well, I wanted to know, I was going to ask you, do we know anything of who Joe's going to pair with at all?
No, I don't know. It sounds like they're just bringing everybody in because DC, like, not this card because this was Brian Stann, John Anik. But the card before that, I mean, DC made, you know, said some things. Dominic Cruz was there. Brian Stann was there. And Rogan was there, correct? No, Rogan was on his fight companion.
Mm-hmm.
It was Anik.
He doesn't ever do Fox Nights or Fight Nights.
Because WME has that much money, I see them doing something like that, where they have like studio commentators that are going to be DC and Dominic Cruz. Like,
right.
What do you guys think about this? And then they're going to have John Anik. I don't know, man. Who else has sat with Joe Rogan other than Goldberg?
Nobody.
Right?
No.
He's never had anyone else.
No, they're a pair. No.
I wonder what they're going to do. I mean, no, they made it. They've announced it. But they're preparing him. It was somebody from like Legacy Fights or somebody from another set of fights. I hope it's not what's his face from Bellator, who basically is Joe Rogan Jr., who shaved his head.
Yeah, he always wears black shirts with the first
Joe
button
Smith
undone.
Or whatever his name is. Who they're like, you see how Joe Rogan looks? Do that. I mean, he's a great announcer. He does a good job. But he basically, like, my wife actually saw him one time and was like, what is Joe Rogan doing in this promotion? And I was like, no, that's not Joe Rogan. And she's like, you're right, that isn't Joe Rogan.
he gets me. Pretty much every time I watch Bellator, I'm like, hey, that's not Joe.
Mike Jackson, who lost to Mickey Gall, is calling out CM Punk now, trying to get another fight in the UFC after he already got cut. Saying, let's see who the real can is. Like, really? Come on now. Ugh. One of those things, man. Conor McGregor's tweeting again, and Ferguson's replying to it. All of these stupid-ass things, man. Dana White's coming out and saying that he's offering the Diaz brothers fights and they won't get back to him.
Yeah, that was also the same time he talked about Bader too, right?
I didn't hear that.
I think it was the same interview because they asked him, they're like, so Bader, like, were you surprised that he decided to go elsewhere? He's like, no, that's a good move for him at this point in his career. It was just straight up. He just did not give two shits about where Bader went, it felt like. That's got to be worse than anything. You would prefer your promotion to feel like cut, like, or damage that you were leaving. Like, it just, like, it, and it wasn't like he was trying to play it off that way. He literally just answered the question, like, oh no, that was kind of where we thought he was going to go at this point in his career. It makes sense. Then that's it.
I like Bader. I think he gets really disrespected by the UFC. So I hope he goes somewhere else and beats Phil Davis and gets his Bellator belt and comes back.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because he always, when he's like one fight away, he manages to lose it. That Tito fight, he would have had a title shot if it wouldn't have been for that Tito fight.
He would have had a title shot.
He would have had a he would have shot a child.
Oh man, you just blew my concentration. I was thinking about something. Ryan Bader, title shots. Gilbert Melendez was back. Oh, I can't even remember.
Spill the beans, guy.
I can't even remember.
Spill them.
Jeremy Stephens versus Gilbert Melendez of Fox 24 in Kansas City. You've got to have freaking James.
You want to go? To Kansas. You want to get some barbecue?
Hell yeah. We can go down to all of those Kansas City car dealerships I used to represent down there. James Krause should be fighting, but I doubt he's on it because he's on the freaking next season of Tough, which is a joke.
Do you want to talk co-main and main?
Hill versus Andrade, the best strawweight bout to date? What?
They just schooled you.
And no, that's Vice. Fightland.Vice.
You just got schooled.
It wasn't, though. Andrade just...
No, you just got schooled.
Busted up. She just busted her up the whole freaking time, man. I don't understand that. Why would they call that the best strawweight fight of all time? Oh, that's what it was. WSOF. David Branch relinquishes the title as a free agent. Justin Gaethje, or whatever his name is also going to be gone. WSOF just had to sell off like 50% of their shares to stay even just afloat. So it sounds like they're in some pretty bad shape, especially when all their champions are going to Bellator. Or not Bellator, the UFC.
Do you think there's going to be a time where somebody vacates their belt to go try to get to the UFC, and the UFC says they just don't want them?
They have to
go back to the to the promotion. Can you imagine?
Bellator would... Well, apparently David Branch said he was threatened by the promotion before he even took his last title fight, and everyone was against him in the promotion or whatever else. It's one of those things, man, where... I don't think the UFC wants David Branch back. I think they've already cut him once or at least maybe even twice. So his best shot's Bellator, and Bellator might not take him because he might want too much.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have to just be done. But if I were the UFC, you've already cut him. I mean, just because he's a WSOF champion doesn't mean you have to take him back. Mm-hmm. John Fitch had to just retire because they didn't care about him. I mean, he had some health issues, so I don't mean to just be rude about it. One thing we did miss, though... OSP lost to a newcomer by decision.
Somebody was saying, if he loses, is he out of the UFC? And I was like, stop.
I think
they might be right.
I think I joked about that.
No, it was something I read. And then I asked you about it. And I think you were kind of like wishy-washy on it. And I was like, there's no way.
Well, not light heavyweight, man. That's such a weak division. But I mean, if they don't care about Bader.
But after that, he might.
It wasn't an impressive performance. I don't really care about OSP. I mean, he stepped in against John Jones.
You said you liked him on Saturday.
I do. I do like him, but I'd rather have Bader. I mean, if you were to be like, it's OSP or Bader, who gets cut? I'd be like, OSP.
I know you said there's not a ton of fights on 209, but you could give me just the main and co-main, and I'd pay the price. I like
those there's
fights.
Only seven. No. There's only seven fights. So what they were saying is, when are they going to announce the rest of them?
I don't even care if they do. They could give me those two fights, and I'd be happy.
Which two fights?
Nurmagomedov, Ferguson, Woodley Thompson. Those two.
There you go.
I'd pay the $50 for that. Do you want to talk about this upcoming card at all?
I'd pay the $50 for that card.
Right.
50 bones.
We'll split it.
25-25. Done.
208.
The world's... I mean, it's going to be a good main event.
Tell me this doesn't look like a man's getting ready to fight a woman. You tell me that right now. Look at this. Does that not look like it?
Oh, we're looking at Reese versus Sasaki. On your screen right now, you have Holly Holm versus Jermaine.
That still doesn't convince me. Are you kidding me? They're in the same weight class?
Wilson Hayes? Yeah, dude, he's a monster. And that Korean...
Oh, my goodness.
The Japanese dude hasn't looked good in a lot of his fights.
This Japanese female... is fighting this ginormous Brazilian gentleman.
Wilson Hayes, man. Yeah, he's a USADA freaking violation waiting to happen. So McCall, man, he almost got pulled off another card off of an injury from his freaking opponent. That would have been like almost six in a row, I think, that it would have been canceled. Just a ridiculous amount of cancellations.
Canceled on him?
I think he did two, and then three were pulled off of
from nobody him. Wants to fight a creepy guy.
Well, and the thing is he was like, why would I stay in? It was, I think, Ray Borg or Smolka or somebody like that that got pulled off, and he was like, why would I stay on the card? There's no point of that. But I think after six, he's like, fine, I'll stay on. Let's see what happens. Brown versus Muhammad. That's a Muhammad who was a Titan FC champ, won his last fight. Lost his, I think, first two in the UFC after coming over, and Brown came from looking for a fight. He's looked pretty decent. So that's kind of exciting. Poirier Miller will be exciting.
It's going to be a fun one.
Even though Poirier needs to just put his head up straight rather than pulling his neck back.
Listen, Poirier, you do you. Don't listen to Justin.
He takes pictures like a Smith or a Diaz. Pulls his back. What else we got on? Enrique.
Teixeira. That's actually a pretty decent card. I thought this was going to be a really shitty card, but it actually made its way into being pretty fun.
I feel real bad for Kenyanir, man. I don't hope he wins because I like Teixeira, but I also hope he wins because I want new blood at 205.
Next week you're going
to
say you didn't like Teixeira, like you just threw OSP into
the
bus.
Well, the thing is Kenyanir just dropped down from heavyweight, and Teixeira just got knocked out by freaking Johnson. So I don't know if this is like, hey, man, we know your head got knocked around a little bit, but here's a fight to get back on your feet, or they're really trying to show whether Kenyanir is a competitor or not. But I don't see him beating Teixeira.
Dude, I think this – sorry to move on because no, I don't know a ton about Kenyanir, but the
get better.
I need to. The Sousa-Bosch fight, honestly, I think is a trap fight for Sousa.
Oh yeah, I mean just like it was for Okami. Okami was just supposed to come in and beat Bosch, and then Bosch caught him with that weird roundabout uppercut where freaking Okami had no idea where the punch was coming from. You remember that?
Yeah. Do you think that Bosch laughs at jokes?
Oh, dude, I bet you he's such a cool dude.
I bet he doesn't. I bet he's just always angry. Look at him.
Oh, man, he looks like a straight Viking. Yeah. He's the kind of dude that if you were back in, like, the Middle Ages, he would be like that dude where it was one-on-one, where there'd be an entire battle going on, and then everyone would stop fighting to watch him take on your best soldier and just crush his
soul. And he has a Warhammer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He is Robert Baratheon to the...
I don't watch Game of Thrones, man.
To Rhaegar Targaryen. What? I've given you my login. That's your fault to not know that reference.
Everyone else would understand that. Everyone else would understand that.
That's on you.
It's on my wife.
No. It's on my wife. Nope. That's on you.
No, because if I watch it by myself, she's going to be like, why are you watching it by yourself? And I'll be like, because then there's naked women in it. And then I'll get in trouble.
I don't understand that. I don't understand because somebody else.
She also doesn't like Black Mirror, and she doesn't like anything that's like weird sexually. She just doesn't watch.
It's weird to me.
Maybe you're weird sexually.
I don't think so.
Maybe you and Hadley should be hanging out.
I found out that wasn't true at all.
Yeah, I'm actually glad. Not glad that it's not. I couldn't care.
Found out he got mad because of the allegedly like the vaping and stuff.
Oh, is that
I don't know.
That's why he bolted?
That's when he started getting mad.
I thought he was telling you all kinds of weird, inappropriate stuff.
He didn't tell me anything. I don't know the kid that well. It was weird. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
So people are just spreading rumors.
Well, I guess
about
he said it, but
kid.
It was like tongue in cheek. But anyways, this is really weird for other people to listen to. But some guy got mad after he got out and just walked out without saying a word to anybody.
Well, no. Not only so we're playing poker and he was just done. He was like, I think I'm going home. And then he just bet, even though he knew he wasn't going to win because he wanted out. Anyway, for anyone that knows us, you may understand that conversation, but I highly doubt it because I didn't even understand that conversation until I met the kid, and now the conversation is not even true. So
He said the thing, but it wasn't actually true. Like,
was he trying to be cool in front of his friends?
I think he was just making jokes that Tim Bosch wouldn't have laughed at.
Because he'd be too busy waiting for the biggest guy in the office to come over so he could fight him and steal his soul.
I was gonna say what's his name? J-Rock quote. Touch your soul till I curl her toes and it's time to reload. It's part two.
I thought you were gonna say.
There's a fun Silva Brunson's a fun fight too.
Who's Silva Brunson?
Silva Brunson.
Oh, I thought
if you make fun of the way I talk one more time, I quit the podcast forever.
Remember when you
forever.
Said what's MNA? Remember you said that to me?
No, I never said that. Go back, bring it on the tape.
I will.
Play it.
I'm going to run that back. I'm going to run that back right now. I'm running that back. So yeah, there's that.
I'm gonna enunciate the hell out of everything from here on out, that Justin can't make fun of the way I speak. I honestly believe Brunson Silva is gonna be a fun fight, and I think Brunson takes it.
Yeah, unless he puts his hands back and runs in head first like he did against.
It's a bad move against Silva.
Robert Whittaker.
I strongly if I could be in his corner, you don't even have to pay me. I will strongly advise him to not do that.
To put his hands down
to,
and run in?
To not do that.
To Goku it?
Don't do that.
Don't Goku that.
No.
Goku that.
And it's a good thing you get a 7 versus 8. It's a good one.
A 7 versus 8. Is that Silva Brunson 7 versus 8?
Yeah. You get Anderson's ranked 7th, Brunson's ranked 8.
Really what we're going to see is where Silva actually lies still.
Yeah.
I think Brunson is going to be there long after Silva retires and is done. Because Brunson's a great fighter. I think he could have done better against Whittaker if he wouldn't have been so overly aggressive.
Well, you talk all the time, you want to see killer instinct. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for that person. People say that all the time.
Killer instinct against Silva is bad news, though. I mean, Bisping did all right, but I think Bisping's...
But you say you want to see that in fighters. And when somebody actually does it against...
No, I mean like when someone goes down and they chase, not when they just run. I mean, he was full speed from...
He had his hands down, and that was stupid. But like, he was trying to finish the fight. One of these
he had him against the fence, and he had.
Would you have preferred for him just to not chase after him and just kind of? Because then, if he loses the fight that way, he gets criticized too.
I would have rather had him readjust, take center cage, and actually just like continue.
I feel like if he would have done that though, he would have got shit too though.
Well, MMA fans are fickle, no matter what.
That was more directed at you. You just called yourself fickle.
Yeah, I'm fickle. I've told you I've loved and then hated people in apparently 5 to 10 minute spans after they win or lose.
Yep, that's typical Justin, like the Diaz brothers. Started off there.
What? Catch me outside. How about that? Catch me outside. How about that?
I don't know what you're saying.
You've never seen that?
I heard everybody say it during poker, and then I saw the first reference to it on Twitter that night.
Derek Brunson.
Kyle Whittaker.
No, Derek Brunson made a video about it. It's very pertinent to the conversation.
Well, I'll watch it. How about that?
How about that?
Watch outside. How about that?
Watch outside. They actually have a joke about that specifically, where she's being pulled over, and it says, "Catch me outside." And then he says, "I did." She goes, "How about that?" Anyway, home. GDR, man. How do you feel about that? How about that?
I just feel like it's not a division. I think it's going to be a division that starts and stops pretty quickly. And it kind of makes me sad.
Right, I'm going to show you this video right now in the middle of this podcast.
That's what people want to see.
Wait for it. That's what people want to see. It's actually...
That. Thank you.
Yep.
We're going to really watch all 37 seconds on the podcast?
Yeah. What? How about that? Watch, wait for it. Yeah. Derek Brunson did a good job with this. And he's running outside. If you haven't seen this, go on to Derek Brunson's Twitter and go find it. He does a really good job.
He's taking an editing class in college, and he did it himself.
And how about
good.
That?
He did good.
Yeah. How about that? Anyway, Holly Holm, GDR. Both of them with terrible records. Holly Holm coming off of 2 losses.
Terrible records?
Well, not terrible. I don't mean, sorry.
Hell, you
not
talking
terrible
about?
Records. Holly Holm coming off of 2 losses. GDR being like 0-6 and anyone in the top 10, against anyone in the top 10. She is coming off of 2 wins. And a performance of the night just knocked out Anna Elmos. But really, this fight is not the most exciting. I mean... It's going to be exciting because they're both strikers, so you're not going to see a lot of takedowns. One's a freaking, Muay Thai or kickboxing champion, and one's a freaking boxing champ.
We don't know.
For a fake belt that might not exist next year?
We don't know that.
Dana White basically said it was a joke and he should have never set it up because then What's-Her-Face freaking pinged Hot.
Who did? Oh, Cyborg?
Cyborg.
Yeah, but, I mean... You don't know what could happen. They could get somebody else maybe that's exciting. You're probably right. I'm going to err on the side that you're probably right.
I'm always
Let's give it a shot. I think that UFC Nunes, Nunes
goes up.
No, I was going to say Nunes Misha or Nunes Tate, I should say. That ended up being a pretty good fight. I mean, on 200.
Also wasn't 145.
Huh?
This will be a good fight.
No, I'm talking about just in. Well, and that's the thing. Is like, explain, we get to see
yourself,
a good,
Carson.
We get to see a good fight. Like, just forget that it's for a belt and just hope to see the Ronda Killer versus
GDR.
GDR. The Preacher's Daughter versus Ramonda, the Iron Lady.
Ramondi is a scary fighter. She
Who's Ramondi?
That's who she's fighting, GDR.
Oh, Ronda May?
Ronda May. Is that how they pronounce
Jermaine
it?
Jermaine de Ronda-May.
That's what it is.
De Which Ronda-May. Is an awesome name, by the way.
Jermaine
Good job to her parents.
Yes.
But
she is scary. I mean, she's 6-3, which isn't the most impressive. But in kickboxing or whatever she was in before the UFC, she was good. And when she goes against people that aren't that good, she just crushes them.
The only loss that she's had in the UFC was against Amanda Nunes.
She lost to Julie Kedzie, who's like the most annoying person in the entire world.
Would you like to see this belt and then have Amanda come up to fight for it as well?
No, because it doesn't mean anything yet. Which is too bad for her, because...
Yeah, but you could make it so... give essentially, Amanda does the Conor thing. She gets two belts, and 135 can kind of fix itself, because we're... Once she fights Valentina, if she wins, we're kind of at like a standstill.
I can agree with that. But I mean, if she wins the 145 belt, who is ever going to challenge her for that?
Both those can work it out. So I she mean, goes, I think well, she's... that's like 6 months down the line. She fights Jermaine de Ronda-May maybe her, in a rematch, or Holly Holm, because they haven't fought yet.
I may be out of line, but I think Amanda Nunes is a better fighter than Chris Cyborg.
No, I don't think you're out of line.
And so if she takes that 145 belt, there's nobody that can beat Cyborg at that division. So who in the world is going to beat Amanda Nunes in that division?
At 145?
Yeah.
You don't think Holly Holm could catch her?
I think she, anyone could.
No, no. I mean, like, legitimately catch her. I don't mean, like, hypothetically. I mean...
I don't think that Nunes strikes with Holly Holm. I think she takes her down and she submits her.
But, I mean, she's not as good of a grappler as Misha or Ronda.
Nunes?
Yeah. She's not as good. BJJ. Well, getting to the ground, but I don't think she's not as good as getting... She's not a judo. She's not a wrestler like Misha. But she's good on the ground if it goes down there. We saw how good Holly was at stopping Ronda.
We also saw how good Nunes was. I mean, not that Holly Holm's going to be trying to take her down.
But if she goes to the ground, though, I mean, it is rough for Holly Holm's. Like, that's how she lost to Misha, but...
Misha Tate says, and she fought Holly Holm, too. Misha Tate looked legitimately scared, even when she's talking about Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes. She looked like she was like... Amanda Nunes, she said, she hits like a guy in a women's division. And she didn't say that against Holly Holm. And Holly Holm picked her apart for... 4 rounds. You know what I mean? I mean, I would like to see what Misha Tate said about that, honestly. A Holly Holm Amanda Nunes fight. And
if they're going to keep that division around,
Misha Tate picks Holly Holm.
If they're going to keep that division around, it only makes it more interesting to have a two division champion. And you can make.
Yeah. But you don't keep it around. There's not enough people at 145. You would have to
absorb. There's not enough people at 135 right now.
You'd have to absorb the entire 145 Invicta lineup, which was what they did with 135 at that time.
But I mean, so okay, let's say that they don't have her go fight for that belt and say that she just stays at 135
and just clears the division.
Well, she fights Valentina, then who does she fight?
Oh, I gotta go look. Like, I mean, she's got, who else is there? Shevchenko she could fight. I mean, that's Holm, it. Technically. She hasn't fought Holly Holm yet.
But if she does that one, well, okay. But
let's say Holly Holm loses, drop back to 135 and fight Nunes. Maybe not off a loss, that'd be three. I don't know. I'd have to look into it because honestly, off the top of my head right now, without having the 135 division in front of me.
Say that Jermaine de Ronda-May loses.
Where's Pena? Or not Pena. What's the other one?
Let's say that Jermaine de Ronda-May loses and she goes back down to 135. She already lost to Nunes.
These are featherweights, right?
You could at least break it up and get, you could conjure up, it's easier to get three fights for Nunes out of two divisions than three fights out of either one of those divisions right now. I feel like we're not there yet, but it's kind of getting to a dead division because of all the retiring and then people moving out of it.
All right, I've got it right here. Sorry, I should have pulled this up as soon as you asked me the question so I could actually answer. Kat Zingano beat her, so a rematch would be worth money. Okay. Even though Kat Zingano got crushed. Raquel Pennington, that's the other one. And then Juliana Pena just lost, right?
And you really believe in Raquel Pennington?
No, but I mean, she could. Liz Kamush, Bechkohea, RDA, that's it. Shevchenko, Raquel Pennington, Kat Zingano. That's it. And then, I mean, Juliana Pena, too. Juliana Pena just lost.
The thing is you still have to get fights for all of those three girls except for Valentina. Valentina's pretty much poised to do it. You've got to get fights for all of them. And one of those is going to lose because more than likely they're going to be fighting each other. Maybe there's just not somebody that I'm seeing that's up-and-comer, but I just feel like what you could do is you could essentially split the division up. You could start absorbing Invicta, get things figured out so you could have...
But I feel some of those 135ers are already too big. I think you have more women opportunities, more female opportunities at 125, 115, 125, 135 than you ever would at 145.
What do you mean?
If you're going to split that division, you don't split it up to 145.
I'm not saying split it.
Down to... That's what you just said.
No, I'm saying split time between the two of them.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
I'm saying split. It's easier to get three fights out of two divisions for Amanda Nunes than it is to get three fights out of, I think, bantamweight right now.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's my thing is who does she fight? Who does she fight at bantamweight after Valentina?
Kat Zingano. She gets a rematch. Kat Zingano is the last person to beat her. And Nunes beat her for
two
rounds.
So what happens if she loses while she's getting ready to fight Valentina, like Kat Zingano does?
I don't think Kat Zingano is going to fight again until she freaking... Because, I mean, Pena, Kat Zingano makes the most sense, right? Kat Zingano's record, she lost to Juliana Pena. So, I mean, that's rough. And she lost to Ronda Rousey.
And you are also aware that she's coming off two losses as well, right?
Yeah, Kat. I mean, well, Pena lost to Shevchenko. So Pena, technically, if you think about it, should get the next title shot even off of her loss if it comes around that quick. But it won't. So Kat Zingano versus Juliana Pena, but she already lost that.
It's easier for me to say, and this is, you have her fight Valentina. I assume she's going to win. If she doesn't, it gets more interesting. But if she wins, you have her go fight either Deronda May, or you have her fight Holly Holm. She either gets to go up and fight like for two belts,
But does it matter? I mean, keep going.
That's the only way I think that you can get those two this is like the only time that I will say that a division needs some time to kind of work itself out for either of them, really. Give her some time to get 135 a little bit more figured out, start building up 145 at the same time.
You'd have to absorb.
How big's Gabby Garcia?
You'd have to absorb. She's like 165, man.
I'll be the judge of that.
The internet will be the judge of that.
Speaking of getting attractive, did you see that she got attractive?
What?
She got a bunch of surgery.
That's good on her.
Yeah.
She got a bunch of surgery. How did she lose that much weight? Or is she just that big and you just can't tell because it's proportional to whatever?
No, she lost that much weight. And then I think she got face surgery, reconstruction. Maybe. That's what I heard from, I believe Joe Rogan told me that personally.
Oh,
he makes his podcast for me.
That's too bad. She should be able to just do whatever she wants.
No, she shouldn't, because what she wants is to beat up old women. She should not be able to do what she wants. She should do what society tells her, and that's lose weight, be attractive, and don't punch old women.
She did get a bunch of surgery. Kidding. She did get a bunch of surgery.
Nah, there's no way she could make the weight. She's 6'2". There's no way. So that idea is completely out. We can just throw that out.
I just love how they have a picture with her next to freaking Wanderlei Silva. This is Gabby Garcia, and all it says is monstrous female MMA fighter Gabby Garcia. Just let her do her thing and be her, man. She's a monster, though. I don't mean a monster. I mean, she's muscly and big and just like...
She's kind of a monster. She's 6'2", 145 jacked. Like, she's
hey, good
she's
for her, though, because this one says...
Huge, that, and she's very good at what she does.
Look at the she's really slow. Look at the transformation of Gabby Garcia.
You don't have to be fast. Jiu-jitsu.
Oh, sorry, yeah, no jiu-jitsu, sorry. She used to be, like, fat.
Yeah, well, she was still in shape even when she was fat. Like she's still very much in shape.
No. There's another one below that where she's actually in a gi, and she's actually big.
Oh.
That's the one. Yep.
Yeah, but good for her. I mean, she's doing good things. You're doing good things, Gabby. But she looks like China in this picture. She should go into pro wrestling. Does she not look like China?
Yeah, she could kick ass in pro wrestling.
She's ginormous. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I have no idea. You don't fight old women. I know that. But
no one else will fight her. And then she was a pro wrestler, and then she ran around the ring. I mean, you saw that. That was just a joke. Raquel Pennington, Kat Zingano, Juliana Pena. I'd like to see all of them fight Amanda Nunes.
Look how big she is compared to Krokop.
She's taller than he is. Oh, you think she's in heels or no?
Yeah, because she's 6'2". He's not short. He's not that short.
I think he's about 6'2", so she must be in heels. But yeah, she looks more muscular than he is.
Holy hell, dude.
Who would have thought this would take a Gabby Garcia turn?
Me? I always want to talk about Gabby Garcia. I don't know what you do with those divisions, man. My idea is, and we talked about this so long, this will be the last thing I say on it, I promise, because this is not overly interesting on either of those divisions. I say if Amanda beats Shevchenko, regardless of who it is, you have an interesting fight for her at 145 to be a two-belt champion in a woman's division, which we have never seen before.
But it doesn't mean anything right now. Let the 145 division actually build, and then it'll mean something. If you're the...
Okay. Like, it has to build. Make a case for somebody. Say that Holly Holm wins, or you can say Deronda May wins. Make a case for the next fighter. Who do they fight?
Anyone at 145 pounds.
Exactly.
That's not Nunes.
There's nobody. Like, nobody knows anybody at 145. Unless
oh,
you're
man. Dana White's
balls
kicking
deep in Invicta.
Freaking Dana White's probably kicking himself, man, for being like, why in the world did I ever set up a 145 title? Why in the world did I ever do this? Maybe in like 5 to 6 years from now. Maybe. Not even that. Maybe in a year or two from now. All of those people, I'm going to throw this out there right there to end the podcast. All of those people that were clamoring for 145 division to build around Cyborg, you guys are idiots. You're stupid.
Every and if we ever mentioned that, don't pull it back up and make a YouTube video about it.
No, man. We have it. Where I'm like, why would you ever make a division around someone that's known for cheating?
I might have said the opposite because I like to be contrarian. So
usually you say, I don't have an opinion on that. No, I don't have an opinion on that. That's what you usually say.
Well, right now I have an opinion on it, and I think that Amanda Nunes should fight the winner because who the hell else?
Yeah, and I only agree with that because of your last statement. Who the hell else? But other than that, there's no reason for a 145 division in the UFC, and Victor's doing great at it. They should just continue to do it.
There should have been a 125 to make it healthier for 115s that are cutting too much weight.
And the 135 and the 135ers that are too small.
But they already have ready-made stars there. They have people that can make it to 145. So I understand, but I'm done with this subject. They messed up a little bit, but at this point,
Dana White knows too, man. He listened to the people and made it a 145 division for Cyborg, and she done messed up. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always, to the One Speed MMA podcast with Flying Smitty and Carson Wood. Please subscribe, share this with your friends, and we will catch you on the next one.
Bye-bye. Peace.